Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at MTS Center. We welcome you to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined in the press box by colleagues Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus. The Winnipeg Jets just fell at the hands of the Vancouver Canucks 3-2 in a shootout. Two teams that still have playoff aspirations, Richard, but what we saw here tonight would not be described as playoff caliber hockey.
Yeah, slow game, Drew. Not a great pace. The Canucks don't skate particularly well up front. At least some of their more effective players like to slow the game down. And yeah, the Jets, a lot of no shows I thought in the Jets today. You had your lad, I thought, brought it pretty well. Little had his moments, and even for the league line was good. You had Wheeler, but you didn't notice many of the other guys. You had Kane had a penalty shot. But overall, the performance today is just, it's another lackadaisical performance in a must-win game. And the team's out of it now. We know that. They're done. But when you look at tonight's game, you look at Vancouver coming in here, you talk about the Scheifele injury, sure, blah, blah, blah. They're in a complete disarray, Drew. We know that. They allow 7 goals on Monday night.
In the third period.
Yeah. It's an unbelievable, stat. Just even think about that. They come in here.
You don't do that in rec league.
No Daniel Sedin, no Brad Richardson. You lose Kessler in the middle of the game. You got nobody. And the Jets don't take advantage of it. And they don't play desperate hockey until the third period, really. And when you play parts of games, it's gonna take its toll on you. And do they deserve to win today? Do they not? I mean, both teams are pretty blah.
Yeah.
I mean, as you said, it's two non-playoff teams competing with 16, 17, 15 games left in the season.
Yeah, exactly. And to your point, the Jets had two separate one-goal leads in this game.
Yeah.
And if you ever get another goal there, the Canucks just probably roll over and go home.
Maybe the first one, yeah. If you get the 2-0 goal, probably. The 3-1 goal, maybe you're right, too. I mean, it's a team that is completely, has folded in the face of adversity, the Vancouver. And so you want to step on their neck quick.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't do that at any point. You had a couple of chances, but Vancouver had a couple posts. You had a penalty shot, but they had a couple posts. I mean,
yeah, it was an even game. It was an even game that was not particularly well played by either team.
No, I mean, the Jets, the refing was suspect again tonight. And, that's the way it goes. The Jets overall, their penalty kills.
Terrific again.
Saved their ass. I mean, they haven't had any power play goals against again tonight. And that's an impressive part. But some of the penalties are also just dumb, Drew. I mean, the penalty calls maybe haven't been great, but stupid penalties and stupid parts of the game and getting overzealous and just,
Yeah.
The team looks a lot like the team we've seen, basically most of the year.
That's right. The team that,
And I'm not surprised.
No. At some point in time, the talent is what the talent is.
Yeah.
A lot of talk before the game that the Tortorella had lost, John Tortorella, Vancouver Canucks head coach, had lost the Canucks dressing room.
Yeah.
I didn't really see that tonight. I thought they fought back. I thought I thought they played like a non-playoff team, but it didn't look like a team that...
Paper, they looked bad, and it's hard to distinguish, having watched them a fair amount, but not enough to know if it's just the talent or it's the coaching or it's a bit of both. I mean, the talent on the ice tonight was not very good, so we didn't have much to work with.
Right.
Their defense is pretty good, but their offense, no. And, with Torts, I thought Kessler, before he scored, he mailed this one in. Like, he got into it. He mailed it in. I didn't see anything from him
I'd agree with
as
that.
As compared to last game he played here, it was night and day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, Henderson was doing what he can, which doesn't seem to be much, obviously, with four room and four
he's
on
a
four.
He's a one-man offense.
Yeah, but I mean, he's a one-man offense, Drew. But I mean, he relies so much on Daniel because he's not a good enough skater, right? So I mean, obviously they've done amazingly well in the NHL. But all in all, I didn't think that they quit on the coach. I don't think they're playing particularly hard for him either. I don't think they came out so desperate, deserved to win the game. Burrows got off the schneid, and we'll talk about that, but I still see a team that's in complete distress.
Yeah, well, it's certainly a team in a downward spiral that's unlikely to change. But I didn't, I was expecting to see more of a, everyone's new favorite buzzword, more of a tire fire than they were on the ice.
That's true. That's fair. Fair. And I mean, they can't beat anybody to come in here and win. I mean, how many games have they won since January 1?
I guess. Well, it's half a dozen, maybe. I mean,
so.
It's not many, that's for sure. First period was probably one of the worst periods we've seen all year.
Yeah, I mean,
no scoring in the first period.
First was boring. It was neutral zone play throughout.
Yeah. Bunch of power plays. Each team had a. Each team took a number.
Yeah, it was bad period. I mean, that was bad hockey. National TV. There's nothing to watch there.
Yeah, the majority of the first period was played shorthanded. I think about 10 minutes of the first, much like you saw in Denver against the Avalanche on Monday. The Jets.
Well, that's
took.
The thing, you know, the reffing calls. I don't even care. You know, obviously they've been a little bit, I think, tilted against the Jets, to be honest with you. But at the same time, and the refs need to put the whistle away a little bit here. I mean, some of these ticky tacky calls, let them play.
Yeah.
And I just mean that, you know, people say, oh, it gets out of hand, it's chippy. I might look at it from that perspective, and I understand that is a perspective. But what about the perspective of, can we get a little bit of 5-on-5 play once in a while? Can we get a little flow to the game? I don't know. They want to create offense arbitrarily by calling penalties. I know that's in the MO of the NHL since the lockout, and I'm not sure what the exact statistics are on the penalties. But I know that the NHL has finally changed. The players have adapted to the rules. And so a penalty, like a penalty now, you might say, oh, they're still calling as many penalties. But the players have softened up is what I'm trying to say. The penalties they're calling now, I think, are not as significant in terms of violence level or like slashes and all that stuff as they were 5 years ago. Just the league still calls them, and the players have adapted.
Right.
Which I think is a problem.
Well, the league just is, well, you know, it's almost like there's an unofficial edict, call anything with a stick involved.
That's right. Or call anyone, a stick breaks, call anything. But yeah, when like, some guy hacks a stick and it doesn't break, they don't call it. I mean, I don't know.
Five minor penalties in the first period. That's pretty much all you can say about the first. And, Andrei Pavlik was good in the first period for the Jets as they were outshot 14-9. Pretty dull first period. The Jets opened the scoring in the second at the 3:48 mark. Andrew Ladd gets his 18th of the year. Assist to Brian Little and Jacob Trouba on this goal. Brian Little comes down the right side of the ice. He finds Andrew Ladd in the slot. Pass to Ladd and a good shot, top corner, top blocker side on Eddie Lack.
Nice pass by Little, as you mentioned, through the seam. A nice shot by Ladd. Ryan Kessler's at fault here mainly. Drew, I thought not skating as hard, maybe just throughout the game in general.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be here. Here being Vancouver in this instance.
And he's the first man back, and he's on Little, and Little beats him. So Little beats him. What happens here is because Little beats him, Edler can't really step out on Little because then his guy's open, and Bieksa can't really fully step out on Ladd out of fear that Little walks right in, right? So, I mean, you have to. So they're kind of both playing back, a little bit too far back.
Yeah.
And then with everybody playing back, Ladd has more room. And Bieksa looked like he wasn't even sure what Edler's got, you know, what Edler was going to do. Was he going to jump out? And so because Kessler, you know, they talk about positioning. They talk about getting yourself between the puck and the net. And it's cliche stuff, and I can't stand always when they use those cliches. But in this case, Kessler gets beat by Little, and Kessler's last man back. It creates a mini 3-on-2. That's why the pass was open. That's why he has enough time for the shot, and that's why there was a goal.
Yeah, Canucks did work. Before we get to the Canucks goal that happened at the end of the towards the end of the period, we should talk about Evander Kane. Second straight game that the Jets were granted a penalty shot.
Yeah.
Evander Kane was given a penalty shot at the 9:01 mark of the second period, an opportunity for the Jets to make it 2-0 and get that elusive 2-goal lead. He missed on the shot. He came in, was looking shot all the way.
Yeah, I mean. Came in. What did you think he was going to do? Pass?
No.
Like he's not going to. You know, and I know, and everybody in this room knows. No secrets here. He was going to shoot.
Yeah.
And the scouting report said that he didn't pick the corner.
Yeah.
He's got a good enough shot to actually pick the corner when they know he's going to shoot. But I mean, that's more so in the game than a penalty shot. You just take the angle. You know where based. You know, you watch back and he reads the scouting report, but he also is watching Kane, and you see the Kane, the way he's skating and all that stuff. And, you know, if he's going to come in from which side and all. And you could see he had read it pretty well.
Mm-hmm. So the Jets aren't able to make it a 2-goal lead. So Vancouver at the 15:38 mark of the second period is able to capitalize. Alex Burrows finally gets his first goal of the year. I mean, you would have made a lot of money in Vegas if you said it would take Alex Burrows, what is this?
You would have made
68 games to get his first goal of the season.
I can't imagine what the odds would have been on something like that.
Yeah, so Burrows gets his first of the year, assist to Jason Garrison and Jordan Schrader. Starts with a face-off win by Schrader in the Jets zone.
Yeah, face-off win by Schrader to Jason Garrison, who's got a howitzer of a shot. He takes a shot. It bounces off. I couldn't see who it bounced off, actually. We'd only get a couple replays here. But it bounced right out to Alex Burrows, who puts it in an open net. You know, it's a tough play for the goalie.
Yeah.
It
wasn't Bogosian.
No,
he wasn't
was
on the ice.
Second goal. Yeah, I got Dave Minuk.
Yeah, Dave Minuk chiming in with some bad information.
Goal. But I think the key here, Drew, is another part of this goal that we might not have talked about is Adam Party follows here.
Okay.
So Adam Party, who is actually ends up being the guy who Edler is lined up against. And not necessarily the way Vancouver plays all the time, but Party lots of times in a defensive situation would follow Burrows to the net. Mm-hmm. And he falls. And then what happens is when he falls, now the puck hits in front and pops to Burrows in any event. But Ellerby then has the kind of a no man's land like we talked about because Party's behind his guy. So with Party being behind his guy, Ellerby kind of pops out and can't really close quick enough. And that's a contributing factor to the goal as well.
Yeah, and he had a wide open net to shoot out because Pavlik was out to challenge on the shot from Garrison.
And it's a bounce.
Just a bad bounce, and or a good bounce in the case of Alex Burrows, who finally gets that monkey well off its back at that point in time. Jets were able to bounce back at the beginning of the third period and regain that one-goal lead. They made it 2-1. Michael Frolik gets the goal. It's his 13th of the year. Assist to Olli Jokinen and Keaton Ellerby. Very nice pass by Jokinen sort of at left side of the ice to Michael Frolik coming in at the right side of the goal crease, who tips it past Lack.
Yeah, you know what? Nice. I agree, Drew. That's a good point. Nice pass by Jokinen. The Jets are regrouping there. Vancouver, it makes a little bit of a bad change. And, you know, what we're talking about is Frolik. We're talking about it's not even the benches are in the right. You know, you're not in the second period, so it's not the benches aren't on the far side. The Canucks just make a bad change, and the Jets take advantage of it. They make the pass. Sedin's guy is Frolik. Sedin doesn't get there. So similar to how Kessler had the issue, Sedin doesn't get there. I couldn't see what other Vancouver forward it was with him on that play, but I believe it was David Booth. And David Booth is kind of caught gliding. And instead of skating hard and taking away that seam that Jokinen makes a pass through, mm-hmm. he glides. And so when he glides, it allows for the possibility. And then he makes the pass. And Sedin's not on Frolik. And with him not being on Frolik, the puck's in the net.
Exactly right. So it's 2-1.
Good pass, Drew. And good transition play. And you look at it, that's an Ellerby gets a lot of credit for that. He gets it up to Jokinen.
Yeah. And, you know, Keaton Ellerby has his warts as a defenseman, but he certainly is a good, he's a good first pass.
He's played pretty solid. You know, I mean, for
a waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, the Jets have been successful when it comes to waiver wire pickups.
Well, I mean, you make 20, you're going to hit on a couple of them, right?
Right. 2-1 Winnipeg. The Canucks, and never say die, and they sort of get rewarded with a bit of a fluky goal. They take the pressure to the Jets.
Yeah, but a fluke, and for the Jets, there's really nobody to blame.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're a Vancouver fan, if you're coach John Tortorella, Drew, I'm going to say, I mean, it's a fluky goal, blah, 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 but I don't necessarily see it that way from the Vancouver perspective. From the Jets, I mean, nothing you can really do here. This is bad luck. But from the Vancouver perspective, they get in on a forecheck. And when you and you know, John Tortorella's teams are pretty aggressive in the offensive zone. And they get in on the forecheck, and what do? They create a turnover, and that ends up in a goal. And if you are not aggressive in the offensive zone there on the forecheck, the play never happens, the luck never falls that way.
What happens is the puck is in behind the Jets' net, and I believe it's Bogosian who's trying to ring it around the boards. I guess it would have been in this case, Yannick Hansen gets
Yannick
his
Hansen,
stick on it.
Yep.
The puck sort of flutters from behind the Jets' net over the back of the net. Pavlik has no idea where the puck is at this point in time because you can't expect
him
to.
Yeah, you don't know where it is.
And it sort of it flutters from the back of the net into the blue paint. And Alex Burrows, again, his second of the year, talk about getting off the schneid tonight.
Well,
banks it out, hits it out of the air and past Pavlik.
It's a nice play.
Yeah, very nice.
But, I mean,
good eye-hand coordination.
Burrows starts the pressure there.
Yeah.
And that's the thing to know is that Sedin is at the end of a shift and he's tired. And Burrows, his line mate, decides, you know, I'm still going to go in hard on Enstrom. And Burrows goes in hard on Enstrom and takes Enstrom out of the play, hits him. And what happens is the puck gets slipped from Enstrom, but he has to stomach. That's why the hits, even if you don't touch the puck, hitting on the forecheck is effective.
Sure.
And he gets the puck to Enstrom. He gets the puck to Bogosian, Enstrom does. Bogosian just wants to rim it around. Hansen is the nice read also. Aggressive. He comes out. And he pressures Bogosian behind the net. So he comes from in front of the net to behind. He sees that Enstrom's pass is a little bit slow, and he jumps it. And when he jumps it, Bogosian tries to swing it. The puck goes up in the air. Burrows, who took out Enstrom, is on the right side of Enstrom because he finished the check and didn't glide by. And Enstrom's behind him. He goes to the net. Enstrom's behind him. Enstrom doesn't think that's going to happen. But Burrows then hits it out of the air before the puck hits the ice.
Yeah.
And it's 2-2.
Yeah, before anyone can really realize what happens. 2-2 at that point. There's a little over 8 minutes to go in the third period. And it was pretty obvious at this point that both teams were playing for the three-point game.
Yeah, they all do.
Yeah, not much happened the last 8 minutes. The overtime was entertaining, 4-on-4.
It was an excellent overtime.
No whistles at all. So it was five straight minutes of back back and forth action with chances at both ends.
You had Blake Wheeler blowing by a couple of Canucks defenders, and I thought Blake Wheeler from the third period on was really good. Mm-hmm. First two periods wasn't that noticeable. I thought Ladd was probably the best forward tonight.
Yeah.
But Wheeler was really creating a lot of opportunity at 4-on-4. I think it was Trouba too had a good chance. And yeah. Then Sedin and his guys had a real nice about 2 minutes of sustained pressure in the offensive zone. And, you know, great play, and you see some mistakes, you see some chances, and you like that, and then it goes on to the shootout, which is so boring. I don't know why they have it.
Well, I mean, obviously we'll talk about the general manager's meetings tomorrow on NHL Midweek, special edition of NHL Midweek, tomorrow night, 6 to 8 on TSN 1290. We'll talk about the shootout and the fact it seems to be here to stay, because God forbid everybody else in the world wants to see 3-on-3, except for the NHL and the NHLPA.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're telling me the 3-on-3 is gimmicky, and... Yeah. Like, do you watch the shootout?
Yeah, because that's real authentic hockey right there. Anyways, that's the end of the game. The Canucks end up being score one goal in the shootout. Chris Higgins is the final shooter.
You know what? Jokinen, well, let's quickly talk about that. I mean, okay. Sadiguchi comes in, misses blocker side. Let's talk about the Jets if you want.
Sure.
Ladd comes in. Actually, that was a nice move, but doesn't do that move a lot and seems to just lose the puck at the end. Lack kind of tipped it away from him. Nice play by Lack.
Yeah.
And the third shooter, Jokinen, comes in, seems to beat him to the forehand side, just completely misses the net.
Yeah.
So the chances were there. Didn't capitalize. Higgins comes down, makes a real nice move, goes slow, but makes a real nice move and goes forehand, and Pav doesn't take the bottom of the net there, and he slips it by.
Yeah.
Nothing you can do. I mean, if you're Pav, I thought Pav on the goals tonight, I thought he was pretty solid. Otherwise, I didn't have too much of a problem. I certainly didn't have too much of a problem with him. I thought Lack was solid, too. The goaltending was solid. It was you know what this was? In a regular NHL game. 2-2 and a shootout.
No, the game. Every NHL game ends 3-2. That's pretty much how it works. Anyways, that is it for us from the MTS Center press box. Stay tuned for audio from both the Jets and the Vancouver Canucks dressing room, courtesy of my colleagues Dave Minuk and Ezra Ginsberg. For analyst Richard Pollock and producer Michael Remus, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. Reminder, tomorrow, NHL Midweek, 6 p.m. on TSN 1290. Until then, we'll see you later on for the Jets-Rangers on Friday night. Thanks very much for listening. This has been the Illegal Curve post-game podcast.